listening to the Echo Church Podcast. For more information about our church, please visit our website at echowashington.org.
We're going to take the next 6 weeks to look at prayer. Prayer is this thing, and I'm going to explain it. So today is going to be more of an overview intro, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer verse by verse. Because what the disciples said after he taught the disciples and all these great multitudes in the Beatitudes, this great Sermon on the Mount, the disciples come up to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus taught them to pray. And so we're going to look at this prayer just as one aspect of how we can grow in our own prayer life. So let's talk about our own prayer life, right? The struggle is real, isn't it? Isn't the struggle real? I was thinking through so many different movie clips of people praying. My favorite one, and I didn't put it up there, my favorite one is a movie with Ben Stiller where he goes and he meets the parents. Remember Meet the Parents? And he's sitting down and they ask Greg to pray. And he rattles off this prayer that he probably somewhat remembered as a child, and it was really funny. And I think so often that's how we feel. We feel like we don't often know what to pray, how to pray. We hear other people pray, and so we feel like we have to use churchy words, or sometimes we don't even have words to express how to pray. And I think if we read the scriptures, God reveals all of this to us. And so it's really important for us to get a basis on what it is. So, like, prayer, what is it? And how do we get past our struggle? So I was reading a book, and I would strongly encourage you to buy this book by Don Whitney. Don Whitney has written some other books, like the Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life. And one of the books he wrote recently was called Praying the Bible. And this book, he talks about how you take the words of Scripture, and specifically the Psalms. These are like written prayers. And as you read them and meditate, you pray on these Psalms to teach you how to pray. Instead of trying to offer up things that we don't even know what we're saying, or trying to sound religious, like God knows the heart, right? So we don't have to offer him up anything that he doesn't already know. So we're going to look at that book, and it's called Praying the Bible. And in the very first chapter, I'll give you a little peek into what he's saying. He's saying the reason that people don't pray, and I absolutely believe that prayer is the fuel of the engine of faith. That the person who is a prayerful person are the people that you see stories about. They're the George Muellers of the world. They're the Charles Spurgeons of the world. They're the people that you see that God is doing mighty things through because their life was doused in prayer. You ever see people that have knee marks worn out in the carpet in their house? A friend of mine, he's a pastor at a church in St. Charles, and he said he went to his grandpa's house, and he went by his bed. He says his grandpa prayed every day, and he didn't know this. And he saw the carpet where his grandpa would physically kneel down on the side of his bed, and it was so worn out, it was worn through to the subfloor. The subfloor is what they put down to put everything else on top of. And he went in there and said, Grandpa, we should replace the carpet. And his grandpa said, no. No, like, this is my place, right? He was a man of prayer. What a legacy that is to leave for other people. But I know if you're like me, we struggle. And why do we struggle? Because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. Don Whitney in his book talks about this. He talks about when we're trying to pray, we either say prayers that we don't have the meaning. But I know a lot of times it's because we say the same things over and over again. Ever been there? You feel like you're saying the same prayer, you're not seeing any fruit, you're not seeing any answers to prayer. And it could be that God's saying, not yet. It could be he's saying maybe, and he could be saying no. I know there was a time in my life, I may have been a teenager, may have been in college, and I remember praying, like I felt like I was praying the same prayer over and over. I'd get there and I'd go to God in prayer, and then I would start thinking about the things that the sin in my life, the struggles that I had. And they seem to be the same thing over and over again. I felt like Groundhog's Day, right? You seen that movie with Bill Murray? Like you wake up and it's the same day over and you try to get it perfect. But at the end of the day, you're going into prayer and you're like, I did the same thing I did yesterday. When is this going to change? Lord, help me. And I also remember praying specifically for someone in my life that God would heal, that he would work. And I remember seeing that person never getting healed, but it seemed to be getting worse. And I man, I remember this as clear as day. I was like, I'm done. I'm just taking a break from prayer. Why am I doing this over and over again? I'm saying the same things. I'm seeing no change. I'm seeing nothing happen. And there's a couple of problems with that. One, I'm not God. Who knows the mind of God, right? You are man. Who knows the mind of God? So I don't know his plan, but I also know that I was frustrated and I was praying the same thing. I was seeing no movement. And I think sometimes you can probably feel that way too. So this is going to be an important series as we walk through the Lord's Prayer to see how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And you can read through prayers through all of Scripture, from the Old Testament through Revelation. You can see all these prayers, specifically the disciples after Jesus left, they still are praying. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, you read through his epistles, he's always starting or ending with a prayer. And his prayers rarely involve his own needs, just as a side note. His prayers are always of thanksgiving, of remembrance, of faith, of God bestowing faith upon the people that he's started these churches with. So it's really revealing if we get into the Scriptures, it's amazing that we can learn how to pray. And so that is our goal in this series. So let me ask you a question. What is prayer? And I promise I do have Bible verses and we will get into the Scripture. So just bear with me. Because this isn't what I think. This is what God has said in his word about what prayer is. But I'm going to ask you, what is prayer? You've probably heard, anyone ever heard someone say, well, prayer is talking to God, right? We've heard that before. And I would say that's probably somewhat true. It is talking to God. And I've often heard this too. People have told me, well, prayer, it's a relationship with God. And you're talking to him and he's talking to you. Could be some issues there, right? Because prayer is for us to talk to God, not for God to talk to us. That's a different thing. That's called what John Piper says, illumination. Prayer is simply this, and I'm pulling this from John Piper. He says, prayer is intentionally communicating a message to God. sounds like seminary talk, doesn't it? Because, it's communicating with God. Well, it's talking to God. And he says, no. There's problems with those because, one, we communicate with God through prayer. We talk to him, but he doesn't talk to us. He talks to us through his word, through his church, but he doesn't pray to us, right? Do you see the problem? We are the ones who are praying to him. He never, in the Scripture, revealed that he is praying to us because he's God. And so prayer is this intentional communication of a message to God. Now, that message could be multiple different things. It could be requests. It could be needs. It could be praise. It could be thanksgiving. It could be joy, right? But it's us intentionally, not just bypassing it, but communicating a message to our Lord. Prayer is something that we do, not something that God does. We're the ones that pray to the hearer of our prayers. And prayer is commanded and it's even assumed. Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples, and he's looking at the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 6, and he's looking at how they pray, because they would walk out and they'd have all this stress. When you saw a Pharisee walk into the marketplace, it was like the sea would part, everyone would walk away. It was like the king and the queen coming through the coronation, and they had all the stress, and they'd walk down, and they had these prayer tassels attached to their shawls and to their garments. And they would use these to remind themselves to pray. They actually had the Shema, right? The Lord our God is one. They had that on their forehead. They would wear it. They were very, it's called a phylactery. They were very, let's just say you knew it when they were around. And they wanted you to know it. In fact, they wanted you to know when they were praying. And Jesus specifically addresses this. And he says, don't be like them. Because all they're receiving is the praise of men. But he says this, but when you pray. Okay, so Jesus is already assuming that we would be a people of praise. Not saying if you pray, or if you think about praying, but he's saying when you pray, assuming that we are praying. Thessalonians tells us, Paul says, pray continually. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? There's this monk named Brother Lawrence, and this was one of his goals, was to learn how to pray continually. How to pray without ceasing. What he learned over years was that he would kind of put his mind on God in all that he was doing so that he would be in a constant state of spiritual prayer with the Lord as he lived his life. Pastor John Piper talks about this. As he's preaching, he is also praying. He's doing two things at once. He says, I know people that can do six or seven things at once. I can do two things. And so while I'm preaching, I'm also praying as much as I can that as I'm preaching that this would matter. It's probably more of the ADD nature in us, right? And we can do multiple things at the same time. I mean, John Piper, I'm using him as a reference because he's a gold mine. That's all I'm going to say, okay? There's lots of him out there, but he's pretty solid. And he's talking about, like, even in the small things, then when he wakes up, he prays. When he goes to bed, he prays. He says, if you're on a phone call and you need to call someone, you need to talk to them about something, he says, before you call them, pray. And after you hang up, pray. It doesn't have to be a long prayer, like, Lord, give me words to speak. And that's it, right? Like, Brother Lawrence was learning how to continually put his mind on God as he went through his life so that he wouldn't bypass the Lord. A professor of mine in Bible college, his name was Wilbur Fields. He just passed away probably 3 weeks ago. He was in his 90s. He was old when I was in Bible college, okay? And I loved him. He taught biblical archaeology after lunch. It was rough. It was really rough. The content was great. He was great. But the food in your belly telling your blood cells to go to sleep was not great. And he had actually gone over to the Middle East multiple times. He was one of the people that actually helped find the walls of Ai. The walls that are in the Old Testament talk about this, the walls of Ai that no one could find. He was actually part of the group that actually helped find some of those. He had found jars that were 500 BC. Really neat man. So he taught this class, and he taught Old Testament. Actually, he wrote the book in our Bible college for Old Testament history. And he was a gentleman, and I'd always see him walking to and from class. He would pronounce words in the Bible kind of strange, like, Mount Nebo! Like, he would always do that. Like, this is the way he was. He was the sweetest, sweetest man. And I remember seeing him walk to and from class, and I thought, who's he talking to? Like, I always saw his lips moving, and he was talking to someone, but most of the time he was by himself. And I remember asking him, like, I went up to him, like, Brother Fields, Professor Fields, like, who are you talking to? He was like, oh, I'm talking to God. Like, this is just a part of his life. Like, wherever he went, he was in communication. He was pleading and praying and talking to his Lord. And I so admired that about him because I am terrible at praying. Like, when the needs come, when you're flooded and you're overwhelmed with life, when the cancer comes in the family, when someone you see is getting hurt, when the money coming in doesn't match the money going out, when life's frustrations pile up on you, those are the moments that we often run to God, right? But when life is good, we rarely think about Him. I think we have to shift that prayer is this beautiful thing the Lord gave us that we can walk and come and speak and come to Him through all means, all the time. Why? Because Jesus, in this very moment, is interceding for you. Romans talks about the Spirit is actually interceding for you as well. Like, there have been times I have tried to pray and I didn't know what to pray. And I'm just praying, Lord, Spirit, like, would you pray for me? Jesus, you know, so pray for me. And He does, because the Scriptures teach us that He does that. So we don't always have to have words to pray. But I think a more beautiful picture of our relationship with our Father is that we would constantly go to Him, like Brother Fields, like Brother Lawrence, like John Piper, that we would be talking to Him constantly throughout our days. That He would be an intimate part of our life. So prayer is us intentionally communicating a message to God. Something we do, not something God does. Now, if we look at the life of Jesus, what we find is Jesus was always sneaking away. So Jesus had this extremely busy ministry. And you don't have to go here. You can open up to Luke chapter 11. This is kind of where I'm going to end today. But I just want to show you a picture of Jesus as we look at what does it mean to pray and where are we headed in this series. Jesus always had people around Him, right? Like, Jesus would run from people. He would feed people and He'd say, hey, get on the boat. Let's go to the other side, right? You ever do that? You ever like, hey, let's sneak out of this, you know, like family reunion. You're like, hey, no one's looking. Let's sneak out. And like you try to go and they're like, there they are, right? Try to sneak away from friends. Jesus was trying to sneak away because He needed time with His disciples. He needed time with His Father. And people would always find Him. And what does it say about Jesus? That He looked on the crowds with spalakna. This is the Greek word that means compassion. Like it came from your gut. It came from this innermost part of who you are. And he had compassion on people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he would look at them and he must have been exhausted and dead tired. Ask my kids how compassionate I am after a 15-hour drive home in a car. Two monsters later, two package of Mentos, Doritos. Ask my kids how compassionate dad is. Right, when I get tired, when I get hangry, compassion is the last thing that I'm thinking about. You're probably in the same boat. Jesus, not only was he physically tired, but he had this emotional and spiritual weight that you and I could probably never imagine, and he sees the people and he's compassionate. But what did he see of importance? So in Mark chapter 11, Jesus, one of the first things he does is says that he walked away, he got away, and he started to pray. It says verse 35, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. This is one verse, one example of many times of Jesus sneaking away in the early morning to go and pray. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was at night, and he told his disciples, stay here and pray. I'm going to go over here and pray. He had to get by himself to plead with the Lord, to plead with God the Father. Jesus sets an example for us as a man of prayer. John chapter 17 is a beautiful prayer. It's the high priestly prayer of Jesus, and he's praying for his disciples. And he's also praying for you. He says that those that who may believe through these, right, build them up. Like he's praying for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus is in the garden and he's praying this prayer and he's praying for you. It's a beautiful prayer. Another one that we could spend weeks walking through. Jesus was a man of prayer, so he can say when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray, because we should be people of prayer. Here's the thing about prayer, is prayer doesn't change God. Right? He's not this genie in the bottle, and you say, you rub it, and you've got three wishes, and you're going to offer them up, and Lord, do this. More often than not, prayer changes you. I mean, Jesus set the tone, not my will, but your will be done. This should be at the end of all of our prayers as we're praying, as we're seeking, Lord, give me faith to believe. I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I trust you, help my trust in you. Lord, I have faith in you, give me more faith. Because even if my prayers seem to go unanswered, or maybe God says not now, maybe he says no, do we still plead with him as our Father who knows what's good for us? Because prayer, in all likelihood, is going to change us. It's going to align our hearts with his heart. And more than anything else, I want my heart to be aligned with his. We talk about this often, many times. I know I do. That my heart left to its own desires is going to walk 180 degrees away from the Lord. I'm going to choose me every time. But God, by his grace and his Spirit, keeps drawing me back, keeps pulling me in, keeps holding me tight and saying, no, I have a better way. And we don't believe that God's way is the better way. We believe that our way many times is the better way. And as we pray to God, as we talk to him, we will learn that prayer is changing us to submit to his will, not our own will. So why do I say this? I want to share with you just a little. This is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to read the Lord's Prayer. We're going to pick it up. And I want to share with you the heart of God. This morning, I just want to show you the heart of God, because I think if we have the heart of God as our Father, as we pray to him, my prayer, pray. My prayer is that it would draw us more to pray to him, to want to pray with him, to pray with other people. How do we do this? Because if God is this God up there keeping marks on all the things that we do, he's not the Father I want to go to that I feel like he loves me and he's kind to me, even though he is. Jesus talks about this in chapter 11, verse 11, he says, he's talking about prayer. And he says, what father among you, right, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit specifically, but the Spirit is the giver of all good gifts. God hears us, and so he's saying this. We were down at the beach this week. There was a scorpion in one of the bathrooms. Did you know that? Like, we went out on the beach in the evening and caught crabs. They are super fast. They go sideways, and like, they're zoop, zoop, like, holy cow. And we caught them, and I got pinched. My nephew got pinched, and that's okay. It was fun. We let them go because they weren't very big. Man, they were fast. Like, if my kids come up to me, I'm like, Dad, can I have a piece of bread? I'm like, here's a crab. Watch out for the pinchers. Like, I'm not going to do that. Dad, can I have an egg? Here's a scorpion. Watch out for the tail. Like, Jesus is saying a picture like, listen, this is an evil generation, yet we know how to love our children well. We try to, right? Like, even the world would say the same thing, mostly. Even people outside of Christ, when their children ask for something and they have the means to give it to them, like basic needs, they're not going to give them something dangerous. Like, Jesus is saying, listen, even when you're evil, you know that those aren't good for your kids. He says, but your father is perfect. James talked about the perfect father who is the giver of all good things, all good gifts. Like, he's perfect in all of his ways. And he wants to give to us the things that benefit us. There was a movie with, sorry for the movie references, but they're great visuals. Bruce Almighty. This was a Jim Carrey. Nick, you haven't seen this movie, have you? You have, okay. You just never know. The movies that I reference now that I'm 42 are not the same movies that some of the younger people have seen. It's where he was this weatherman in this movie, and he wants, you know, he's like frustrated, and like, God, of course it's Morgan Freeman, you know, shows up in the flesh, and he lets Bruce be God for a day or two. So I'm going on vacation, which, you know, God never needs to rest. He's never on vacation. He's never too busy to hear your prayers, right? Have you ever felt that way? Like, oh, he's just my little niece. He's too busy. He's never too busy. He's never too tired. He's rest is for us, not for him. He's always working, so he's never too busy for you. You may have had a parent that's felt like they were too busy for you. I have to watch that in my own life. Like my kids, I'm never too busy for you. And we do that imperfectly. God is never too busy to hear the prayers of his people, his children. And so he gives Bruce this opportunity to be God for a day because he needs to go on vacation. First of all, I'm wrong. And he's realizing that he's trying to do all this stuff. And so one of the ways that people pray were, it was coming up as emails. Do you remember this? And he's starting to answer them, and he's trying to answer them the best he can. And finally, like, he's realizing all that he has to get done. Which, again, God, he can do all things at all times without even breaking a sweat. And Jim Carrey's character is like, instead of answering each prayer request through email, he hits reply all. Yes. And the world starts melting down, right? Like, everything is going to waste. Why? Because God knows better for you. As parents, we know better for our children. How many times it's like you want to just bang your head on a wall because you tell them one thing and they think they are smarter than you. They think they're more wise than you. You're like, listen, I know that this is better for you. Eating a honey bun at 10 o'clock at night is not good for you. Good for me. It's not good for you. That's right. A 36-pack of gum, probably not the best for you because it's going to get in my car and I'm going to step on it and I'm going to be angry, right? Like if you're putting a pot on a stove and you're filling it with water and you're going to boil eggs and you're going to bring that temperature up to 212 degrees so it can boil and you tell your kids, don't put your hand in the water. It's better for you not to do this. But Dad, I really want to put my hand in the water. This is what we do in prayer. Like, if God answered all our prayers, it'd be like us putting our hand constantly in the boiling water and getting burned, because it's not always good for us. Sometimes no is the best answer we can receive. Sometimes it's not yet, and sometimes it is yes. And so I love this picture that Jesus shares with us, that God is this Father. Like, we're evil, yet God is perfect, and he wants to give us good gifts. In fact, Jesus has asked. So as we learn to pray, we learn that it's us that's praying to God. He doesn't pray to us. We learn that God hears our prayers, that we're commanded to pray. He's assuming that we are praying. Jesus set the example by rising early. Not that if you're not an early riser, that's cool. You don't have to get up early in the rise, but find a time and a place to go pray. And I'm telling you, not as someone who has this figured out, but someone that is constantly struggling with this. Like, I need to hear this message on prayer. I need to read these scriptures and be convicted. Lord, change me. Every great revival always started in prayer, with people on their knees pleading for the Lord to do something. And the reason I'm here today is because I believe that if the people gather around on their knees and pray for the people of Franklin County, God will do something. You're here because I've been praying for you. Other people have been praying for you. You've been praying, Lord, where are you? You're here because people have been praying for this church before it even existed. And this is just a small spark that I hope fans into a flame that ignites this county. 53,000 people not knowing the Lord on their way through the wide gate that leads to destruction. Eternity. Not ball games, right? Not wineries, not the house in a thousand hills with the perfect lawn, not all the things that we want. Like, there are people that are pursuing joy and meaning in things that will not last and lead them to destruction. So we've got to be a people of prayer. It says, Lord, save these people. Use us to save these people. Use us to bless these people. Use us to take care of people in our community that don't know you. And so I want to leave you with two things. This is, what do you call it when you have letters that each have a word for it? An acronym. That's it. I'm going to share with you one. I'm going to change a little bit. So when you're praying, this is one of the ways you can pray. Acts, right? There's a book in the Bible called Acts, or we do Acts. And I'm going to share with you real quick, just you can walk away with this. And I'm going to share with you one person that my kids have read, that I've read, that I love this story about this man of prayer. Acts stands for this. The first thing you do when you pray is you ask. Jesus says, if you ask, it will be given to you. Right now, he's not saying, ask for the Tesla, and it will be show up in your driveway the next day. Ask for the 720 credit score, and it will happen the next day. But he's saying the needs in our life, I think more than the physical needs, if we started praying about the spiritual needs, Lord, give me faith to believe and trust in you. And that's a prayer that I believe the Lord's going to be like, there you go. But be careful when you pray, Lord, give me faith, because the faith that it requires, sometimes it is the removal of all things that we trust in. And so Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And he's talking about prayer. And so one of the things that we do when we pray is we ask God. So when you're praying this week, ask the Lord. Share your needs with him. Second thing is to confess. This is not something the church has historically done well. It's something that I've talked with a couple guys here in this church about. How do we become a church that confesses, that is confessional in nature, that says, Lord, yes, I have wandered from you, and I've believed a lie. I've made an idol of something that I cannot save, and I'm confessing to you that you are the Lord of all. So we need to be real and honest about the sin that roots deep in our hearts and confess that before God. So we ask God for blessings and things in our lives, the needs we have. We confess before him. The T in Acts stands for we thank God. Like, we have so much to be thankful for. The fact that you live in America and are in the top 1% of the world in wealth, man, that's something to be thankful for. not to hold up above anything else, but we're thankful for the things. I was driving in my car. I hate my car. It's my wife's car. I hate it. I'm really trying to be thankful for it because we spent money on this car and it ran perfect for a day. And then, you know, you got to get it inspected. And even though the inspection was last 30 days, oh, no, these wheels have to be replaced. You got to get these lateral link control arms twice now, getting these arms. Radio works half. I was turning the air conditioning up that it, when it did work that one time on our way back. And guess what? The speaker popped on. I'm like, this. I didn't know this was the volume for the speaker. Christina, when we got married, we were driving her Jeep Liberty. I'm making sure you know it's her Jeep Liberty. That's not a man's vehicle. And we were driving her Jeep Liberty, because it was nicer than my car, down to Florida for our honeymoon. And we get to Nashville, and then it's like July 24th. It's hotter than where you don't want to go. And that we stop for lunch, and the AC, I turn the car on, and it doesn't work. It's a Sunday. I'm like, where am I going to get this fixed? I don't have money. I mean, I have money from my wedding, but I want to spend that like on vacation with my wife. I'm calling around. No place is open. I punched the dash. Ever do that? Not my best moment, but guess what? The air conditioner came back on. It worked. So we're driving back with our car that we had to get new tires and an alignment and oil change, all this stuff. I hate that car. The air conditioner's not working. It's 90 degrees. We're driving back. All the kids are in the car. We stop for lunch. I didn't hit the dash this time. We got back in the car after lunch, and it was working. And I'm still like, okay, Lord, I'm trying not to hate this car, but I really want to. But that's such a first world problem. The fact that we're not destined to walk on a road that leads to destruction, that the Lord has called us his sons and daughters. He saved us from our own sin, our own shame, and put on us his righteousness. We have much to be thankful for. So when we pray, we can be thankful for many things, except for my car. And the last thing is the S. We can ask, like, we can go to God in supplication. Like, Lord, just supply whatever needs I have. Just supply those needs. And so that's one way to pray, X. You ask, you confess, you thank, and then you ask for God to supply. Now, the last thing I want to leave you with as we join into how Jesus addresses the Lord's Prayer. As we begin to learn how to be a people of prayer. Like, I do believe that if we did anything rather than reaching into the Word and reading the Word, that if we gathered for an hour every Sunday and prayed together, I think we'd see more gospel movement, more spirit movement than anything else. We're not going to do that. I'm just saying, I think that prayer is that crucial. That without prayer, we're left to our own devices. And so there is a man named George Mueller. He was a sort of missionary to England. He came from Germany. If you can read his biography, I would suggest it. My kids read the children's version, and I get to hear all about it because they tell me about it. He went to England not knowing what he was going to do. Just so happened that they needed he was going to go to an orphanage, and they just so happened that they needed someone that could speak English and German. Well, he was German, and he spoke English, so voila. This man was a man of prayer like many that none have ever seen. Is he any better than you? No. Is he more special than you? No. He was determined to put his needs before the Lord daily, and the Lord answered them. It is estimated that in his lifetime that he had over 10,000 prayers answered, which would equate to 1.5 prayers per day answered. Like, we can go weeks and feel like there's not an answer to prayer. He's praying, Lord, these orphans, they need, we have no food. And while he's praying, guess what shows up? A delivery truck driver with bread says, I missed my turn, I don't know where, do you need this? Like this was the normal thing for George Mueller, that the Lord would show up in his prayer life. And one of the things that he's talked about in his prayers, and this stuck with me when I read it, and we'll be unpacking this a little more fully, is that we don't know how to pray because we don't know what to pray. George Mueller, this prayer warrior of all prayer warriors, it seems like, he said that if he got up early, and he did get up early, and he would start to pray, he says, my mind would wander for 15, 30, 45 minutes before I could even figure out something to pray for. And he had many things to pray for. And then something happened to him. He got up, and he opened the Bible, and he started to read the Bible, and then he would think about what he read. We call this meditation, chewing the cud, thinking through what you're reading about. And then he would begin to pray what he read. And he says, what would take an hour to pray, when I would start by reading the word, meditating on what I just read, my prayers would go on, and they would seem like they minutes, but it would be half hour, 45 minutes, an hour of intense prayer with his Lord. And man, God showed up and he answered these prayers. Am I saying this is the magical formula? I'm not. But I'm saying George Mueller had to direct his mind to Scripture and the truth in Scripture in order to pray to his Father, to communicate to his Father. I leave you with that only because I think that as you see guys like George Mueller, you think, man, he is just, I'm not like him. I'm telling you, you are. You're flesh and bone. The Spirit of God that lives in you, that will groan for things you don't even know how to speak. He's given us his word, that as we read his word, we'll learn how to pray his word. As we see how Jesus taught his disciples in the Lord's Prayer, he said, teach us to pray. This is going to be our prayer every week. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to ask. Teach us how to confess. Teach us how to be thankful. Teach us how to supply our, that you would supply our needs. Teach us how to put those before you. Teach us how to pray for those around us. Teach us how to pray for my own heart. Teach us, Lord, to pray in all things, in all situations, at all times, to pray without ceasing. I believe that if we are a people of prayer, God will change you and he will change this community. So next week, we're going to unpack this for the next 5 weeks. So let's spend a moment in prayer as we worship and we close our time together. Let me pray, and then we'll worship together. God, thank you, Lord, that even in this moment, Lord, that the God of the universe, the God of the universes, the God of eternity, of all things, Lord, is not too busy to hear his people. God, that our smallest of needs, you're not too busy to hear those. You're not too busy to answer those, Lord, that the things that concern our heart, Lord, you want to hear as a Father who is good, who is loving, who is kind. Lord, a God that wants to draw us near to you. Lord, I pray against what could become easy prayers. Lord, what could become daunting prayers? What could become prayers that don't attach to the heart? Lord, that you would remove those, that we would learn that you're a good Father, that Christ is at this moment interceding for us, and that the Spirit is alive in us, but that we can come to you boldly. So Lord, we ask that you would teach us to pray. Lord, to believe that you're good, to believe that you love your people and you have a plan for us. Lord, help us to believe that. Father, I pray that your Spirit would move in our people, in this church, and in this community. Lord, for your glory and for your name alone, that one day we would be reunited with you in glory and to see all the work that you've done. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.